This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, hello, everybody. Pete Caliendo. Good evening. Baseball Outside the Box. Thanks for joining us tonight. We are thrilled to be here, and we are going to have a fantastic show, and I'll tell you why. We've got one of the most successful people in professional baseball in the Mexican League, and we are going to talk to him in a second. And I got to tell you, it's an honor to have him with us. He is the president and majority owner of the Obregon Yeckies. Four championships he's had, three in a row. And those three in a row are a record. Nobody's ever done that before. It is outstanding. He has built a dynasty in Obregon, Mexico. Let me welcome and let me say it. First of all, Rene Arturo Rodriguez. Let me welcome Rene to the show. Mi amigo, ¿cómo está? No hablo español mucho bien. Me hablo un poquito. ¿Cómo está?
Everyone says that when someone asks, do you speak Spanish? Everyone says, poquito, but it means nothing. And then I hope that I can speak English well with you. And I finally know you, Pete, and I'm very proud to be with you.
Well, it's an honor. And I'll tell you what, your English is 10 times, not 100 times better than my Spanish. I try to mix it in with some Italian once in a while.
Okay. Thank you.
So again, thanks for being on the show. And folks on Facebook, if you're on Facebook and you want to ask a question, let's just type it in the comment section. Don't forget, do us a favor. Just go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo, and subscribe. That's all we ask. We got some great shows, 90-plus shows there. They're outstanding. And tonight's a special night because we're going to talk to Rene about building a championship that they have there in Obregon. I mean, you're talking about the Mexican Winter League, the Pacific League. It's an outstanding league, top league in the world. And not only that, and I failed to mention, two Caribbean World Series also, along with those three, and that's just phenomenal, unbelievable record. And Rene, here's where I'd like to really start is talk about a little bit, first of all, how you got in baseball initially, and then we'll get into, being president, but first being a young GM and then president.
Yeah, thanks, Sabit. As most of the people who goes into baseball starts with your dad, your mom. I'm very proud of that. My dad really loves baseball. And then he got me to the little leagues. And then I started playing since I was 7 years old. And then I play a very good level, Pete. And then I went to the world tournaments as a baseball player and as a softball player too. When I went to the university, there was no baseball, but it was softball. And then I went to the Pan Americans and I went to the world tournaments. And then I have very good friends that who played in the big leagues that played with me. Karim Garcia, for example.
Yep.
A very good friend of mine. He's from Obregon. Erubiel Durazo also. We played together on the national tournament. And then that's the how I start in baseball. And I love, I'm very thankful that with my family and also with my two sisters, because in the summer, her vacation was to follow me to the national tournaments. And then I'm very pleased with them.
I've been very lucky. I've been all over Mexico, but I've been all over the world, but all over Mexico, playing the Pan Am Games, in many different levels, been some beautiful cities. And because of my good friend and obviously one of your managers, Eddie Diaz, we got a chance to go. I got a chance to go to Obregon and hold a camp there when he was with the Rays. So just a beautiful city and fantastic fans and people. Mexico has a history of baseball, but also a passion for the game. The fans are fantastic.
I know that you came on the 14th, and then on the 16th, we have a new stadium, Pete. And this is one of the best stadiums, Latin American. But we will be very happy to have you here, Pete.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We're going to talk about, hopefully, as you know, the coronavirus gets taken care of, maybe having an international tournament there, which would be fantastic. We're going to also talk about, a little bit about the stadium as we go on. But a little bird also told me that you're a very good fast, or is it fast pitch softball pitcher?
No, a hitter.
Hitter.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. And then I was playing, I was playing first baseman, but the position that I loved the most, it was third baseman. But I was better in first one, in first baseman, because my feet was, what, it was very heavy on my feet, and then I was not very soft on it. And but I was having a very good arm. I was a pitcher also, but what I liked the most was at the batter. I was a switch hitter.
And interesting, in softball, I remember being in Belgium and I played against the Dutch in softball, and I really hadn't played softball that much. Not easy to be a hitter because that ball comes on you really fast.
You know, I was telling you it was a switch hitter just on baseball. And softball, it was just lefty. Because in softball, if it's 1 foot less to go to the first baseman, I think I have a many of hits instead of righty. And then I went to the world tournament in Midland, Michigan, small town, but the people love softball. It's a very crowded every day. It's good for the softball.
Before we get into the background, did you have to make an adjustment in softball? You know, like different swing, a shorter step, or anything?
Thanks God, not, because I was my hands are fast enough for the softball. I was good on the fastball. My weakness, as everyone, was the curveball and the changeup.
Yeah. That's why most of us haven't made it to the higher level sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? The most highest. You know, the other thing is, you know, after you got done playing, what career did you have before you got into baseball?
My professional is, I'm an accountant.
Okay.
An accountant, then I made some master degrees on the international management. And then, but I love merchandising. That's what I love the most.
Which fits really good, obviously, in professional baseball. And interesting enough, the other part is, all of a sudden, now you become a young GM. How does that happen?
You know what? I was in the past, when I go into the, with Jackie's, the 2004, I was a GM, and 2007, I was a president. But on 2004, the Jackie's team was owned by Corona, the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I received a call by a friend who was a very good level on the Corona to invite me to at the baseball. And then I was very, very happy. As you know, when you love baseball a lot and your dream is going to play the big leagues, and then I took the decision to go to the school as a professional. And then I was always baseball inside of me. And then when I received the call, it was the next, I tell him, when do you want me to be there? And then the next day, and then I was there. And then 3 years later, I was the president. And then when I was called to be president, Jackie's wasn't able to have any title. They have 27 years without any title.
Wow.
27.
Well, at least it's not like Chicago. I'm in Chicago. Ours was 100 years, so that was all right.
And then on the 2007, we were champs. And then on the, as you said, on the 11, 12, and 13, we were three champs with Eddie Diaz.
Right, then, now, go ahead. No, keep going.
Yeah, and then as Corona owners, it was on the 2014, that Corona sold the team. And I was able to buy it with some family members and with some friends. And now we have it. And then, Pete, since we have it, we don't have any title now.
That's right. Now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you get into baseball, you're a GM. Now, all of a sudden, you've got responsibilities to not only be successful from the business side, so that because you have to continue the business, but also on the field. What's interesting is now you have to put, you know, you have to decide who your manager is going to be, the players you have to put together, the trades you make. How did that all start? And, you know, because some guys might have some background in that and you just started in that, you know, how did that all kind of begin?
When I went in, Pete, I was young. I was 30 years old. And then I made a lot of mistakes as everyone goes to the, at the business. At the beginning, as everybody, I wanted to be the player's friend. And there was a very bad mistake.
Yeah.
It was a bad mistake because I was 30 years and most of the players was older than me. And then they have more life than me. They have more experience than me. And then they bite me. And then I have to learn very fast. And then I need to separate with that line. And then I start making trades because we have a very old team, And then, on the 07, we were able to make, to be champion with Joaquin Soria on the mound. You know, when Joaquin Soria now is a closer, set up, he used to be a closer with the big leagues. He's with Oakland now. He was our closer on the 07. And then our team went down. It was coming for a bad seasons. But we have a good team now. We have a good persons and good players. But we need to change the environment. We need to change the environment in the inside. And then we have I have a friend with me on the Jackies who has a lot of experience in the summer and the winter as a executive and as a player, Alfonso Chato Lopez. And he said, I have a good one. I have a very good option to call it. And I think he will change the environment. We was in Culiacan in that moment. And then when that guy who said Alfonso Chato Lopez was able to change the environment arrives, it was Eddie Diaz. It was Eddie. When I met him on the Culiacan, he was coming for a long trip. As you know, he's close to you in Chicago. He's in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Chicago to take a plane. And then he went Phoenix. From Phoenix, he went Mexico. From Mexico, he went Culiacan. Long flight. And then when I met him the same day, he was very happy to be there. And then he changed the environment. He changed the environment. And then, as I said, Eddie is a manager and executive at the same time. He's mm-hmm. a baseball guy 24/7. He always arrived to my office at 11 o'clock in the morning. He knocked the door and we talked baseball. And then sometimes he asked me, do the lineup. You can do the lineup. And then we make lineup together. And what we talked at my office, he always make it through. He always make me happy on that. And I learned a lot, Pete, from them.
Renee, one of the toughest things, and what's interesting that you said, you know, a lot of teams, they change the culture and now they start going in a good direction. Prior to that, one of the toughest things decision-wise is picking a manager. Mm-hmm. You know, because like you said, they create the culture, they're on the field. What did you think some of the characteristics were that were important in picking a manager?
To me, it's the environment. When the environment changes for bad, the manager has to go. It has to go. Most of the manager know a lot of baseball, of course. But for me, the environment is the most important. And that what he says to me and to my players follows. I don't want them to say something and change it on the future. Mm. And that's, for me, the most important thing to, for the manager. And then, as you know, Pete, our season is very short. It starts on October 10 most of the time and finish December. We play just 68 games.
Wow.
And then the worst things in our season, it's to fire managers, because we need results right away. We cannot wait for the managers to roll on. We need results right away.
You know, it's interesting, because as soon as you said that, the first thing that reminded me about that was Major League Baseball currently, you know, with 60 games plus the playoffs, they didn't have time to, I mean, they had a little time to prepare in spring training, but then they had to get going with the season, and you couldn't afford to have a losing streak right away, because it could be the end of the season right away also for you. What other issues?
Let me tell you about Major League Baseball. As you're saying, I watch every day games, and it looks like now, as our games, they use too many pitchers. I know that they have the rules that they have to face three batters, but they are using too many pitchers, not as last season's. They are using too many pitchers because every game counts. Mm. It's the same way as our season. We use too many pitchers because every game can be the difference.
Absolutely. That's a big difference. You know, and now you're obviously in a situation where, you know, the coronavirus, and you have to, you know, the league, I'm sure, is looking at, you know, how to start, when to start. What's the information there that you're getting, and how, what you think there will be a season?
We're doing our best, Pete, to start on October 15th. We already agreed, I think, 10 days ago on the last schedule. And then we are trying to do our best. It's going to be easy to start, Pete, but it's going to be very complicated to finish. It means complicated for us, for the players, for the government, and then for the fans. And then... we are waiting for the government to let us know how many people will be able to be at the stadium. We're very happy and we're very comfortable that we think that we are going to have people on the stadium. I think it will be 40% of the people at the stadium. I know that we have to make some changes. We are working with the government, with the protocols, and then, but the things that we're aware of at Pete is the players. The players has to follow the protocols. The protocols were going to be very good ones, but if we don't follow those protocols, that's the what we have to be on a very light line for our season.
You know, you mentioned you've been watching all the major league games, and I'm sure you've seen Korea, Taiwan, the way they started. What's something interesting that you've learned that possibly, you know, because now you have an advantage, you can see some of the pro leagues, maybe some things you've learned that you think you need to implement that you guys have talked about that you learned from, you know, watching the other leagues.
We will need to have the players early as the last seasons. The last season they arrive at the stadium after lunch. We are not going to need to have the players before lunch. I think they will have to find breakfast, just breakfast, but we are looking to have them the breakfast at the hotel, and then to have the lunch and dinner at the stadium. We will need to have those players as much time possible at the stadium.
Yeah, because one of the issues is when they're on their own at the hotel, you know, how do you control that part of it?
At the hotel and the streets, because as you came in Mexico, you know that the food is very good, tacos, yes. It's all like that. They love tacos also, and they are at the streets at night, at lunch. It's going to be the difficult part. And then their family. We are going to be care about the players, but not the family. What is going to have the family on the street? What they're going to do? Are the players want to bring their family? We're not sure, Pete, what is better? Does the player has their family with them or not? We think it's better to have them, their family, in order to not go out the street too much.
Good point. I really think that's a good point. I think the family can also kind of control them, you know, because of that. Renee, any special rules, you know, in Major League Baseball, they made some changes, man, you know, the extra inning rule, man on second. They've gone doubleheaders, seven innings. Any rules?
Yeah. We're going to have the rules on the starting 11, on the 11th inning with the man on second, and then on the extra innings. We're going to be the clock on the pitchers. And then as we have already, I think we have 3 years already on the challenge pit. And then, but starting this coming season, it's going to be on the extra innings.
Well, you think that'll be something that'll continue in the league, or is that just specifically for this year?
My opinion is going to be continuing because our game starts at 7 o'clock. If we are on the 9th inning, there is 10:30. And then at 11, it's going to be 11:30. It's going to be late. And then on that time, Pete, there is not many people in the stadium. It's just a few people in the stadium. And then there is no reason to kill the players.
Good point. Renee, you know, in the U.S., you can look at social media. There's a lot of talk about the rules, and one of the, you know, the extra inning rule, you know, a lot of, it's kind of mixed. Some people don't like it. You know, some people don't want it in the rest of the season. How do you think is the Mexican people used to that rule, or is this going to be something new that, you know, you kind of have to see how it goes and how they feel about it?
The people, they love the old fashioned. Mm. Every time that the something changed on baseball, people doesn't like it.
Right.
me either, Pete. You know what? I was looking some days ago, a pitcher, he was going to face someone. I won't say any names. He was going to face someone, and the pitcher and the catcher took a paper from their back, from their hat and from their back to know how to pitch the next coming batter. And I thought that pitcher is not good enough. But then 2 days later, I saw Garrett Cole doing the same thing. And I said, Garrett, really? Do you need it, Garrett? and then I don't like that. I don't like the way it looks on the screen. The people goes and take some notes. I don't like it.
Understandably. You know, before we get into I want to get into three championships. In the league, in the Pacific League, are there any different rules that are followed? You know, like you mentioned, Major League Baseball, a relief pitcher has to pitch to three hitters. Are any other rules in the Mexican League?
No. In our league, there is no rule now that the pitcher has to face three. There is no rule. It's we're coming the old fashioned now on the relievers, and we are trying to do as much as possible as a big leagues, but just very slow way. I think we will wait on the big leagues for all like 2 years, the way it works, in order to make it as a rule for us.
You know, and obviously you've won three championships in a row, four total. Then you built this, you know, beautiful stadium. You know, the old saying is, if you build them, they will come. Now, you had a lot of fans already there. But with the new stadium, did you see an influx in attendance?
Our old stadium, Pete, was 14,000. And the new stadium is 16,500. But 16,500 with seats. Oh, at the old stadium, those 14 was just 4,000 was with seats. The other 10,000 was without seats.
Wow.
And then we have a huge holes. We have two restaurants. We have 10 different skillmos. And then we have a very big clubhouses. And then, but you know, the pit at the beginning of the new stadium, it was very hard for us to operate as an office. At the old stadium, when we were going to with the manager, for example, we met everyone. We were able to see as much players as we can, the coaches, everybody. But in the new stadium, we are not able to see it. They are by their own. They are private. They have amenities inside the clubhouse. They have music. They have everything. And then, as I tell the players, this stadium was built because what we have done in the past. Those players that have done it, they are not on the team anymore. This stadium, you have to make your own dynasty. You are not the one who owns this stadium. And then we have to create the new dreams, Pete. We have to create new dynasty. We have to create a new couple of players to make history.
You know, and it's not easy because I've been involved in independent ball for a long time, and I know it's not easy to get a new stadium. It takes a lot of work, you know, obviously a lot of money. The city has to be behind it. Talk about that process, how that kind of unfolded.
As you know, the stadium, even in the U.S., has to be done by the government. It's very difficult to the team makes the stadium. We need to be held by the government. As I was able to have some friends on the politicians, and then Hermosillo did this new stadium. Mexicali did new stadium. And then we need to have something different or something same, Pete, in order to exist in the league. But because if we still haven't our old stadium, we will not be able, with the economy, to still playing in this league. This league has grown a lot, as I said, and I will try to do it, to say it in English. As I said, the baseball winter leagues teams, they are not anymore the hobby of someone. For example, in the past, the Jackies might be the hobby of Corona's owner.
Yeah.
But there's not anymore, Pete. The 10 teams that we are on the winter, they are the regular business. Regular, we have to be creative. We have to work as much as possible, 100% of our time on baseball, because in the past, maybe it was a hobby and all, it just 10% of their time was on baseball. Now, every owner of the team invests almost 100% of their time in baseball.
Very interesting. Rene, also, you know, as you won three championships in a row, and as we all know, the first one you win, but then the next one's always the hardest, especially back-to-back. During that time, you know, a lot of GMs, you know, they look at a club and they say, okay, I've got certain weaknesses. I've got to make some, you know, they're never satisfied because they want to make sure they're strong all the time. Mm-hmm. Did you have to make some trades? What were some of the most, you know, beneficial trades possibly that you made that helped in that process? Because it's not just the manager. It's also the ability to find players, to make changes sometimes in the teams.
As I said, on the 2007, we win our first championship. And then, as I say in the beginning of the interview, our team went, it was an all team. And then our league goes in two different. The first, it starts on October, and the first half finished November 20. And depending on the standing, it gives you some points. Okay? And the first half gave you some points. At the second half, it gives you another points in the standing. when it finished, you have to the points of the first half and the points of the second half, and just the better six goes to the playoff. Okay. If on the first half you go to the last understanding, or the last understanding is going to be very difficult to go to the playoff. When it comes, and it comes on December 10, you already know if you're going playoff or not. For example, on the 2-8, we went on the last of that first half. We were champions, but the first half we were the last. And then I took advantage to make some changes. I made a lot of changes on that, on those years. Okay, I will go to the three champs. When we were in the second, on the first of those, on December 10, we already know whose team is not going to the playoff. And then we move hard to make some movements. On those, in that year, we took Luis Ayala. I don't know if you remember Luis Ayala. He was playing with Washington, and then he was playing with Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And we took him, and then he was our closer and our setup at the same. Wow. every game, he was pitching 8, he was pitching 9, and then he gave us too much opportunity. He gave us too much energy on the team to follow our dreams. We were having Luis Mendoza. I don't know if you remember Luis Mendoza,
yes,
who was with the Texas. And we have Amezaga, who was playing with the Marlins, and he was championship with Angels. And then we were having a very good group of guys who now they are record people. For example, Chapis Valencia, he was a leader of home runs of our franchise. As a second baseman, is our league, as the most home runs of the history. And then we have a very good group of guys. But Luis Ayala was one of the movements that we make on the last time of the year.
You know, it's interesting because as a GM, you see, you watch Moneyball, the movie, and you see them on the phone, you know, and they're calling and they're talking about a trade, and then they're talking to another team. There's a lot going on because you're not the only one possibly going after some players.
In those days, Pete, on the deadline, we were playing in Mexicali, and I flew Mexicali for the series in order to have the closer. In Mexicali, the closer was Oscar Villarreal. I don't know if you remember. He was a reliever with Houston. He was with 4 different teams on the big leagues. He was a good player, good pitcher. He was the closer from Mexicali. Mm-hmm. And the setup was Luis Ayala. I was going to have a Villarreal. But it was not possible to have Villarreal, but it was possible to have Luis Ayala. And then the clock was ticking. Clicking.
Yep.
At the office of the league, the deadline was going to be at 12. But Mexicali is 1 hour less.
Oh.
And then we were still playing 5 minutes before 11 in Mexicali. It means 5 minutes before 12 in the league city. We made the trade. I gave them 3 players for him, and then it worked.
If you had to pick one of the most important trades or best trades you felt you guys made, which one would that be? Would there be one?
No. The Yalas trade, no. I think one of the best trades, I will give you 3. I trade Luis Cruz. Luis Cruz, he played with the Yankees. I think he played with the Dodgers. I trade him to Culiacan for 2 pitchers. Those 2 pitchers that I trade him, Rolando Valdez and Marco Carrillo, were part of our rotations starter on those 3 champs. And then I made a trade with Navojoa for draft number 1 for Luis Mendoza. Because it was our number one starter in the three champs. And then I made a trade on the shortstop from Yankees. And on that day, a year before, he was competed for the MVP, but he was 37 years old. I trade him to Mexicali for Agustin Murillo. Agustin Murillo is our he has the record right now for most double in the league. And then he was a everyday player. He was our third line in the lineup. He's a regular. He's one of the most the better third baseman in the league.
Fantastic!
I think those three traders was the clue.
Very interesting. I love that. And I think people listening, we're going to love to hear that. You know, you mentioned you and Eddie Diaz especially had a very good relationship. I would assume during these times, there's a lot of communication with your manager.
Yeah. With Eddie, it was a championship on the 11. And then he was a championship in the 12 and the 13. But I don't remember if Eddie was on the 12 or the 13. I'm not good on the years. Eddie is very good one on those. He went to manage Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to me and said, "Rene, one of my dreams is to be a manager in my city, in my country, Dominican. And I haven't a very good option right now in Dominican." And it hurts, but I understood. And then he went to manage Toros del Este. In that year, Pete, neither Eddie, neither the Yankees did the best. And then we went barely to the playoff. And the last day of the season, after the season finished, I took the decision to change manager. Our manager did a good job making the playoff, but I thought that he was not going to be able to be on the finals. I took the decision, Pete, to change manager, and I called Eddie. And I called Eddie, and Eddie arrives on January 2nd to Mexico, to Guasave, to start the playoff.
Mm.
To start the playoff, and we were champions. We were champions, and then I was criticized because I think no one has done it in the past to change the manner at the last day of the season to start playoff. But it was not very risky, Peter, because we already know Eddie, and Eddie already knows the players. And then, thanks God, we went together in those years and give us some happiness.
And during the 3 years, you had to make, obviously you said all the different trades at times. It's not easy telling somebody, you know, you just traded them. Your communication with Eddie on the trades, I would think that's important because the manager has to know and kind of get an input on some players and what trade you want to make.
At the beginning, Pete, the trades decision was took it by five different people.
Mm.
But then I noticed that it is not was easy to have five. Then I took the decision to be just three. Eddie, the GM, and me.
Mm.
I follow democratic decision, Pete. If I said no, but Manuel, the GM, or Eddie said yes, it's going to be yes. It's going to be yes. But and I took the decision not to ask the manager's decision, because as I say at the beginning of the interview, manager is very risky in our league. Mm-hmm. And they know there is very risky. There is very hard that our managers have 5 years. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult, Pete. And if you ask the manager decision, his decision is going to be very short term. And my decision has to be more long-term.
Long-term, yeah.
And then that's the reason I took manager's decision.
Interesting, yeah.
Then it's still on three people, the decisions. Eddie, Manuel, and me. Even though I called Pete Caliendo for his advice, or Eddie called I don't know who, but it's going to be three people decisions.
Yeah, and it's great as a manager. I know it's, you know, when you have the support of the president, the general manager, it just, and the communication, it makes things so much easier. What qualifications? Interesting to know. You know, because it's always fun to understand what makes a great manager. Now, obviously, you mentioned building a culture. That was important. What else did you see in some of your managers, whether it's Eddie or others, that made them successful?
I will try to say in English, before is a phrase. Before be someone, you have to look someone. You have to look like that. For example, if you want to be manager, you need to look like as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie was a man. When I met him, it looked like a executive. It looks like a manager. When you look at him, the way he talks to the players, he in his eyes, it has a very good balance. They have he's always respectable, respect by their players, by the coaches. And then, as I said also at the beginning, the environment for me is the most important piece.
Now, as president and also majority owner, what's the most difficult thing for you as president of the club? What's the hardest tasks that you have to accomplish, other than obviously winning, but there's also the business side?
Yeah, to make the fans, to make the city happy, to make dreams on my city, to make dreams on my population. That's one of the goals that I have. To have in today, Pete, on the past years, we are having some difficult issues as this year, COVID, in mm-hmm. the past, economies or something bad. The baseball has that decisions to make, to change the environment and to change their mind, to change and to think different, to think that it's possible to have a different life.
You know, and there's no doubt, we know that the Mexican people are great fans, that they have a great passion for the game. I remember in the Pan Am Games, even at our 14-year-old level, we played in Mazatlan, Mexico, 24,000 people there for a 14-year-old world, you know, in Mexico against U.S. Mm-hmm. at the time. But we also know, like in the U.S., even in minor league baseball, sometimes, you know, the game can be a little slow and not, you know, and the pace can be slow. And it's, for us, there has to be a lot of entertainment going on for the fans also during the game. Is that the same in Mexico, even though the fans have great passion?
Yeah, and then one of our goals, Pete, is we assure to them that the environment or the show will be great. We cannot assure that your team is going to win.
Right.
But we can assure that it's going to be fun.
And you mentioned community. I noticed, and I didn't understand at all on I think it was Twitter. You have a youth team. I believe you're involved with some of the youth teams, obviously mm-hmm. in the community. Talk mm-hmm. about that, how important that is for the young kids and the teams.
Last year, Pete, it was a tournament that we sent, every team sent a young 11 and 12 years old team to compete in one of our stadium. Last year, it was in Culiacán. We sent a team, on Jackie's bass of the first team,
mm-hmm.
they stay at the same hotel as the players. They play at the same clubhouse as our player. they play on the big show, on the, they went on the TV, they dress as a jackies.
Wow.
And then, but before they leave, Pete, and I always said to the family members, this is a kid's game, not an adult game. Let the kids play. You won't be able to go at the bus. You won't be able to be at the clubhouse. You won't be able to be at the hotel with them. We have some people, professional people, to be with the kids, and they will take care of them. Do you trust us? Do you want it? And they say yes. And then it was a very good experience for them. On that, on last year, one of our team, Jackie's, one of the kids pitched a no-hitter.
Wow.
A no-hitter game. And then this year was postponed, Pete. But we will follow next year. It was postponed by the COVID. But the coming years, we are looking to have two different tournaments with 11-12 and one special kids.
Yes.
With handicaps.
Yes.
We will have a handicap or a special tournament, and it is one of our dreams to have it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love to hear that. And, you know, and as you know, if we don't work with the young kids, you know, and make baseball fun and entertaining, you know, we're going to lose some of those kids. Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming it's the same thing in Mexico. The more we're involved with the youth, the, you know, because they're going to become not only players, but they're going to be fans for a long time.
And then some of those players now, we are looking forward to have us as a Jackies. We have very good talent in Obregon. As I said, Alfredo Mesaga, Mario Valdez, Fernando Valenzuela is around here also. Mm-hmm. We have seven local big league players from Obregon.
You know, interesting. We had Fernando's. Yeah, we had Fernando Valenzuela's son on our Pan Am team, the U.S. team.
Okay.
I don't remember the year, but, you know, being involved in Mexico a lot, I've seen a lot of young kids and I see a lot of talent. But what's interesting is I would think you'd see more players in the big leagues from Mexico, but I know Mexico has a pro league. What's the reason we don't see a lot more in professional baseball here?
I think, Pete, at the young level, we can see almost as U.S., almost the same level.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they go to the high school, their family is not able to have them at the school. Some of them need to go to work now to help the family. They don't have some advantage in the school. And then they don't have too much time to practice, or they don't have time to make a performance on their own. I think that is one of the reasons. And then the most principal reason is education, Pete.
Mm. Interesting.
Education.
You know, and Renee, as we come, your time's been valuable and I really appreciate it. We're coming close to the end here, and I want to get into, because, you know, you and I and Eddie have discussed this, and I think it'll be a great event. What a great city to host it in. Hopefully we'll be able to work on an international event, bring internet, you know, teams from all over the world into Obregon, show them Obregon, but also that beautiful stadium and the hospitality, and it'll be a great event.
Yeah, I was very pleased with you, Pete, first, and with Eddie, that we were looking forward to have that tournament in my city, and I think we will be able to have it next year with this COVID goes finally, and then we will be very pleased, Pete, to have those teams, those different countries.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. I know we're excited about it, and interesting, like to know, you know, right now, you know, you've been in baseball a certain amount of time. What's the future looking like? Staying in baseball? You have other aspirations that, you know, you're looking towards?
Well, one of the goals that we have also is to go on the little leagues, Pete, is to have some leagues here by our sponsor, and to be able to have those teams, those players at the little league, even Cal Ripken or little leagues. And I was invited this coming year. I was invited to compete on politicians, but I'm still thinking, Pete, because there is not very easy family for the family, neither for my wife. But I think I need to still do more for my city, for my state. And I think I will go on the politics next year.
So that'd be interesting, a whole new role, a whole new life. You know, hopefully it's not like being a politician here in the U.S. because it's pretty rough here right now.
Not me, but maybe my kids, Pete, because they are USA citizens. The three of those, they born in Arizona, they might be. Be careful.
That's right. You know, I got a special message here from Mr. Diaz, you know, because he's watching how I do things. He's like my director, making sure.
Check. But perfect.
And Eddie says, and it's interesting because Eddie says that there's 6 Mexicans made it to the major leagues, 4 in the last 6 days. So congratulations on that. I did not know that.
Cruz and Rios today.
Yeah, that's great news.
Yesterday, Paredes, former Jackies.
Yeah, and who would know better than Eddie Diaz, who scouted Mexico for a lot of years for professional teams. So thank you, Eddie, for that message. I appreciate it. So your goal possibly is politics also?
Yeah. Very coming.
Yeah, and you've already obviously dealt with a lot of politicians because of the stadium, the city, everything that you've done. So you're familiar with the background and being a politician.
That's the main reason, Pete, that we need to win this year.
Absolutely. And we'll be watching. We hope that will happen. Renee, listen, I can't thank you enough. This has been fantastic.
Thanks to you, Pete, and I finally met you. As I say, I love your studio. And
thank you.
You have made a wonderful job.
Well, Eddie has talked about you for many years, and you know he's talked great about you. I can't wait to meet you in person. Like I said, I've been to Obregon. It's been a fantastic city, great people, great baseball. So again, special thanks, and good luck this year.
Thank you, Pete, and then I will be in touch with you and with Eddie, and you are very welcome whenever you want. But then don't forget our tournament for this next year.
Absolutely. Special thank you to Rene Arturo Rodriguez. Fantastic interview. Also, a great thank you to Eddie Diaz for putting us together, because this wouldn't happen without him. And special thanks to our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Also, of course, special thanks to everybody in the U.S. and around the world. We're over in 50 countries that people listen to us, and we thank you for being great listeners. And we ask again one thing, that is, subscribe on YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Share it. Send it out to everybody. Tell them to subscribe, because that helps, you know, it helps us get the show out. So again, everybody, stay safe. God bless you all. And we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.